The holiday season is a time for reunions. For James Wagner, Christmas 1996 was the year he got his best present ever. His father was being held hostage in Peru, and 2 days before Christmas, his father came home. Wagner is a member of the editorial staff of the Los Angeles Times, and we want to know on this Christmas day, what's your most memorable holiday reunion? Tell us at 1-800-989-8255 or send us an email at talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website, npr.org. And James Wagner joins us now from his home in California. Happy holidays and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
And to you as well, Ari.
How did your father come to be taken hostage back in 1996?
Well, my parents, my dad worked at the U.S. Embassy. He was a political counselor. So it's sort of normal to go to, you know, political events. And there, the 17th of December, we were having a party at the Japanese ambassador's residence in honor of the Japanese emperor. And so my parents were reluctant to go at first. And, you know, there was their wedding anniversary. They were a little sick. And my mom, who didn't want my dad to get in trouble at work for missing a political event, managed to convince them to go. And they ended up going that night. And so about 14, 15 rebels took over the party, which had about 700 people, and held people hostage that night.
Is this what you learned after the fact, or were you aware of what was happening as it was going on?
Well, it's weird because I was 10 at the time, and my sister and I were home with the maid that took care of us whenever my parents were gone. And we were watching TV, and this is obviously things I learned later, but she heard a faint noise in the background, something that I still to this day I honestly don't remember hearing. My sister did, and she put us right to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and my mom was gone. My mom was there, and my dad wasn't home. And so these things started gradually trickling in, and my mom told us the entire story about what happened the next morning. And sort of the story that I wrote and the things I tell people are just a combination of sort of the things I've learned along the way, things I've heard now, and so very little at the time, honestly.
Well, if your mother told you everything that happened the next morning as a 10-year-old, how much of it did you understand?
To be honest, very little, I bet. And I think I would say probably the best way to describe my feelings were shock. I mean, I know I could understand as a 10-year-old that my dad was being held hostage, and I knew what terrorists were.
Yeah.
Our experiences overseas, I was sort of, you know, I'd learned what violence was. And at the time, I knew Peru had problems with terrorism. Those are all things that I'd been briefed on, you know, the security meeting, you know, what to do if things happen. So I understood that. But the shock was probably the best way to describe. I mean, the next 5 days, I spent most of the time with friends. They didn't want me to be reminded about those things. They didn't want me to be around it. So, I mean, I can't tell you. Probably till now I've been able to process all the things that I remember learning and hearing.
Well, we haven't gone through exactly what did happen, so tell us how it came to pass that your mother was home the next morning and your father was not. What exactly went on at the embassy?
Well, they let all the women go late that night. I say around midnight or...
You say they. Who exactly was it?
Well, that was the 15 hostages that have taken over. They planted a bomb next to the residence, and that's how they got inside the complex in the first place. And then it was a gun battle between the police. They managed to corral everyone inside the home where people had run to hide anyway during the gunfight. And they let all the women go, the 15 terrorists, the rebels. Let the women go all that night. My mom didn't really want to go, and she was forced out, and so she came home that next night around midnight. And then they held groups of men. I think it was about 400 to 500 people, men, that first night stayed at the residence, and little by little they were letting groups out, and deeming who they thought was important, they were planning to hold on to. They would send them into certain rooms, and my dad was sent into a room with foreign diplomats, and I think they were deciding that they wanted to hold on to these guys for a certain amount of time, and they held on to my dad for 5 days, but I figured that this wasn't part of their move to hold on to them any longer. So they let him out.
I want to remind emails, we're talking this segment of the show about reunions at the holidays. So we want to hear your story of the best reunion ever, whether it was with family, friends, classmates. Give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. You can also email us, talk@npr.org. And James Wagner, the morning when you woke up and your father was not home and your mother was,
mm-hmm.
What was your emotional state and what was your mother's emotional state?
Well, I can remember clearly. I walked in the room. It was a bright morning. My mom was sitting on a bed. The bed was made. So I don't remember if my mom even slept that night. I bet she didn't. So she was sitting on the bed with her arms in her head, you know, crossed over and just sitting there. And I walked in and I remember just hearing everything. And somehow because we lived in Peru and, you know, because of the violence, it made sense, but I think I just couldn't really process everything that was going on. I just didn't understand, and scary, obviously, to see my mom so scared. And I mean, my mom had been through things, and obviously, we prayed a lot, and that's what she was doing and telling us to do.
Did she obsess over the fact that they almost didn't go to this event?
No, that's something my sister, at least I did, and my sister did later. I mean, we talked about it, and I remember almost feeling a little guilty because I always, until recently, I always thought it was because my sister and I wanted the house to ourselves, and we wanted them to go celebrate their wedding anniversary, but that we sort of wanted them to go and push them out the door because we wanted to hang out and watch TV without our parents. But it didn't turn out till later that, you know, talking to my mom and finding out that she just didn't want my dad to get in trouble for missing an event. So, So that made me feel a lot better knowing that it wasn't me that pushed them out the door and made them go. But in the end, I know it's not really my fault that this happened.
Of course. So your father was taken hostage December 17th. Mm-hmm. This is about a week before Christmas. What happened in the intervening week?
So the next five, you know, they sent me to a friend's house. Like I said, my mom and especially and then with her friends had decided, you know, it's probably not best for me to be home and to be reminded of those things. And so I go to school every day, and I remember going, spending time and ended up sleeping and staying over with friends and, you know, just trying to keep my, do everything, having fun with them, you know, trying to live a normal life without, you know, trying to stay away from the reminders of my father, because one never, at that moment, one did not know if he was going to be killed or what was going to happen or they were going to kill the hostages or not, never let them out. Or so, I mean, it was sort of a blur. I mean, I remember...
I understand you wrote him a letter. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. The Red Cross had provided us stationery. They let every family send a package. My mom put together some clothes because I think he had been sleeping in the same clothes and been in the same 5 days worth of clothes. So we sent him a package of clothes, and I wrote on a note that the Red Cross had written. I can't remember exactly what I wrote, but I know I told them I loved them, and I was having fun with friends because I remember playing soccer with them.
Yeah. But the letter never made it to him.
As far as my mom said, my mom says he never got it, and my dad said he never read anything I wrote for him, so that's kind of sad.
And I understand that your mother received matzo ball soup every day from the American ambassador, is that right?
Wife, yeah, the ambassador's wife. Asked my mom what she needed. And I think what sort of food, that comfort food that would have, you know, made her feel better. And so the driver would stop by every day and drop off a bowl, at least it was a pot of matzo ball soup, which always has chicken. So,
when did you find out your father was going to be released?
So I think there had been rumor, like since they were letting out groups of people, you know, every time I heard that there was a new group coming out, you know, my mom would either tell us, call and tell us, or, you know, we'd always have our attentive to hear if they were going to let out a group of Americans. And I remember that day, the 23rd, I think it was a Sunday, they had announced early in the day that a group of hostages were going to be let out. And I think not until the end of the day, and it was really concrete, and we were all huddled around the TV, and because that's when we heard the hostages were coming out. And as the lines of them were getting into the bus, I remember my mom and sister seeing my dad, and I, once again, obviously I seemed to be missing things in my life. I did not see his face, and we were excited once I found out that it was him. So I think it was late that night.
We're talking about family reunions, holiday reunions here on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So when you first saw him after he was released, describe that moment for me, when you were reunited with him in person, that is.
That was the 24th, I think it was the next day. He was asleep in bed, and I remember waking up very early and popping my head into the room right adjacent where they were sleeping and seeing him in bed. I mean, he had the beard, something he didn't have when he first left, and I mean, I could tell it was him. And he was sleeping right there quietly next to my mom. And it was probably one of the most amazing feelings, at least knowing that my dad was home and that nothing had happened to him.
And have holidays been different for you ever since?
I mean, as a 10-year-old, and I know maybe the message and, you know, the lesson, I didn't really learn that till later in life and didn't really understand it. But that the family and having, you know, spending time with them and knowing that they're safe is way more important than anything I can ever have. So, yes, I mean, I don't really want anything for Christmas. I don't really need anything, just as long as I know that everyone is safe.
Well, James Wagner, best wishes and happy holidays to you and your family.
You too. Thank you, Ari.
Thanks for your time.
Sure.
James Wagner is a member of the editorial staff of the Los Angeles Times, and his op-ed on his father being released appeared in Tuesday's paper. Let's go to a caller now. We have Norma in Blackville, South Carolina. Hi, Norma.
Hi. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Tell me your reunion story.
Well, I need to preface it with, as we are... sending my son off to Iraq for his second deployment, I think about when I was 12 years old and my father returned from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And he was scheduled to come home in October and came home a few days a week before Christmas. And that was the best Christmas we ever had. And like...
Was it a surprise or did you know that he was coming back that day?
Well, it's, you know, with the military, every day we expect... And he was on an aircraft carrier. The night before he came home, I heard the airplanes landing at the Naval Air Station. in San Diego, and I knew then he was coming home.
What did that feel like?
Oh, how can you explain it? It was wonderful. You know, and my father got to come home.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what's it like for you now sending your son to another war a generation later?
Well, I'm truly a military brat, and I believe in our country and what we stand for. And if he needs to go, he needs to go. And we just pray that he and his fellow soldiers come home safely.
Another Christmas reunion in the future.
Yes, absolutely.
Or any time of the year, I suppose. Well, Norma, thank you for your call and happy holidays.
And thank you.
We're going to go to another caller now. This is Jim in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Merry Christmas.
And to you. Tell me your reunion story.
Well, it actually started 6 months earlier when I terminated in the Peace Corps in 1979 in the Ivory Coast. My brother came.
In Africa, yeah.
And visited us. And we did what a lot of volunteers were, maybe not a lot, but some volunteers had done, which was head north across the desert by land. Something that we can't really do anymore.
Right.
We traversed Algeria, ended up in Europe, spent the fall, and then came back to the States after 2 years.
Hmm.
And it was a wonderful getting to New York and then saying, okay, well, let's head to St. Louis, but instead of going by air, we went by train.
Huh.
And got reconnected with the United States.
That's great. Well, thanks for your call. And happy holidays to you.
You too.
Well, next week, it's going to be our annual obituary show, and we would like you to send in your picks for overlooked obituaries of 2008. The email address is talk@npr.org. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Neil Conan will be back on Monday. Merry Christmas. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro in Washington.